And now on the Chris Smith Show, it's time for Stephen Fenech from techguide.com.au.
Afternoon, Stephen Fenech.
Good afternoon, Chris. Great to be here.
Good to have you here, and plenty to talk about today. We've been speaking more and more about smart homes, thanks to things like Good Home or Amazon's Alexa, but yep. Now there's a smart apartment. Now, have you been in this smart apartment at Rosebery in Sydney?
I have, yes. It's the Bertram Apartments. It's the site of the old Wrigley chewing gum factory. It's actually 100 years old. 1918, the factory was
built.
Which
street in Rosebery is that?
I think it's in Crewe Place.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's the Bertram Apartments, and they're, you know, 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments. And it was ironically built on the site of this old factory, but it's heritage listed. So what they did is just basically remodeled the building. It was Alan Jack and Cotier Architects and the Stable Group actually built it. But all the smarts, though, were supplied by Clipsal by Schneider Electric. So Schneider owns Clipsal. And each apartment, even when you walk in the door, they've even got the original lamps that were on the Wrigley building in Chicago.
Oh.
They retained them and put them on this building here in Australia. But when you walk in, there is biometric security, so you don't need a key. You just scan your thumbprint at the gate. The gate opens, and then when you get to your own apartment, again, you got your biometric lock to let you in the apartment. But at every PowerPoint, every light switch is all wirelessly connected to this Clipsal C-Bus system, so that any device you connect can be controlled smartly with an app.
So incredibly modern interior.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah.
But wrapped in a... in a shell, which is very retro and very heritage-like.
Oh, yeah. There are some it's like old-style apartments in there, but it's very much all pretty new styles in there. But the technology, the spine of the building allows this amazing control where you can walk in and say, hey, Google, welcome home, and then all your lights turn on. Or, hey, Google, it's date night, and then all the blinds come down, the TV turns on, the music starts, all this sort of stuff. And you can even order your robot vacuum cleaner to start. It's also got a geo fence around the building as well. So if you leave, everything turns off. And the opposite is when you arrive, so everything will turn on. So if it detects you're driving into the garage because it knows your location through your phone, then you could program that to mean that it's going to turn on your lights, it's going to turn on your air conditioning and all these things as well. So as a result of that control, it's also very energy efficient as well. They've got their own solar panel array on the roof. They've got battery storage. They've even got 3 bays for electric vehicle charging. So all the mod cons, and the open common areas were the gardens were designed by Jamie Dury. Some of the gardens are actually edible. So you can walk down there. If you need some herbs and spices for your dinner, just walk down the garden and tear off a few leaves and then go and spice your dinner. But
they're calling it the most advanced apartment block in the Southern Hemisphere.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's an incredible development and an example to other developers and architects about what's possible in this ultra-modern building. It's amazing.
We will see more of this.
Not particularly
in terms of retrofitting buildings.
Yep.
But in terms of new homes and new apartments?
Well, new homes, definitely. But even retrofitting, a lot of customers are thinking, well, I think that's the bulk of Clipsal's business, is people wanting this in their home now. Because not everyone's building a new home. The 90% of people are living in their existing homes.
Yeah.
So this is definitely something they like. And based on research, we've got more and more devices connected to the internet. So I think on average now we've got about 17. In 4 years, that number's going to be close to 40. So all these cameras and security devices, all this convenience and efficiency you can create in your home, this is kind of what they've achieved already at the Bertram.
Yes. Activate all of this from the sound of your voice.
It's amazing. Yeah. All there's pictures on Tech Guide. I've written a story about it. It's sort of taken people through some of the apartments and the control. And you can use your voice. There's a dedicated tablet so you can control the lighting, your entertainment, the security, your blinds, the aircon, whatever you need is all at your fingertips.
Amazing. David, you've got a question for Stephen Fenech. Go right ahead.
Afternoon, boys.
Hi, David.
Very well.
My wife has an iPhone 7 Plus. She really likes it, but
yep.
I'm sick of paying Apple all the charges for storing data and music and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
What would be a similar sort of phone on the market now that you might be able to change to and would be happy with?
Just to talk about your charger, sort of there is a free component of iCloud that you can use if you do want more storage for your photos and your other documents and stuff that you got to pay. But Apple Music allows you to download to your device as well, so you're kind of storing that on your own device. Similar products, there's a range of the first one that comes to mind would be the Galaxy S9. That's a really nice screen. It's got a beautiful camera as well, really nicely designed. Maybe even have a look at the new Huawei products. Huawei have got the P20 Pro is a nice phone. There's also some really nice phones from Oppo as well that are sort of mid-range, about $599. Huawei have got a nice $599 phone called the Nova 3i that I've written about on Tech Guide as well. So everything I'm mentioning to you is on Tech Guide, so if you want to look them up. But plenty of options there if you want to change.
Excellent. Thanks for that.
Good on you, David. Appreciate it. Now, many of us can't imagine life without access to Google. It's changed the way the world lives, really.
Absolutely.
And the tech giant's celebrating its birthday. What is it?
20 years ago, 1998. It was the first time Google became a website.
What did we do before Google?
Well, I'll tell you what I did before Google. I had the internet before Google. I got my internet connected at home, dial-up, of course, in 1995. And I can remember I was one of 100 people in the office that had the internet at that time. But there was a few of us who did.
But we had to rely on going to the library or having an encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. So to research, I tell that to my kids. What you can do on Google in 2 seconds took me a whole afternoon with a pile of 20-cent coins and a photocopier.
Yeah.
That's how we did it.
Yeah.
But in terms of finding stuff on the internet before Google, I used to come home with scraps of paper where other people on the internet, have you seen this site? Here's the address. They'd write it down on a bit of paper. You go home. And one canny publisher also published an internet yellow pages back in before Google, so you could look at stuff based on your interest, like, sport or technology, fashion, music, whatever. And I actually bought that book. I'm thinking, wow, what more could you possibly want? This is great. But then Google came along and changed everything. They indexed the internet. So they basically looked at every site, every link, so they knew where everything was, and that gave you the opportunity to find it straight away. Mm. And that's then become their bread and butter for their search. But you've got to remember, Google, while they were mainly known for search, have done a lot of other things, including the Android operating system for your smartphones. They've also bought YouTube in 2006. I think they bought out YouTube for $1.6 billion, which is worth a lot more than that now. They've also they bought Motorola. Remember back in the day, the phone company sold it to Lenovo, though, a few years after that. But they've also created Google Maps, which is an Australian product. Did you know that was developed in the Australian Google Labs?
I'd heard that before.
The engineers here in Sydney were instrumental in creating Google Maps.
Did any of those engineers happen to get a cut of the
I'd say so. Yeah, geez, they would. But here's a funny story, though, Chris, about Google. They launched in 1998, right? Larry Page and Sergey Brin, these two college buddies, created the company. In 1999, they tried to sell the company. There was a company, an existing search engine, now defunct search engine, called Excite. They went to Excite and said, look, we've created this thing. We want you to buy it. Their asking price, $1 million. Excite turned them down. Excite said, sorry, overvalued.
So
do you reckon if they could have their time again? Last year they made their revenue was $110 billion last year. So if you could go back and buy Google for $1 million in 1999, that's a pretty good deal.
They've got headquarters in America, but when I was in Dublin, I saw this gigantic building, which was good.
Oh, they've got headquarters everywhere. They've got a big office here in Sydney. They're all over the place in Silicon Valley. Their Mountain View is their main office in Silicon Valley, but they're everywhere.
I'm surprised that Google hasn't used its search engine to force us all onto Google phones.
Well, there's more people in the world using Android devices than iOS devices. It's just a sheer number of companies who use, like, only Apple use iOS, but Samsung, LG, Huawei, Oppo, Sony, they're all Android.
Yeah.
So just the sheer strength of numbers, they've got more users around the world. So they're doing pretty well already. So, they've got a pretty significant footprint around the world, and they're worth a bit of money now.
Okay, a prepaid phone plan. Francesco, you've got a question for Stephen. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, Steve, can you recommend a very basic mobile phone for a very elderly senior, my mum? She's 86.
Yep.
Plus, I've heard there's a Coles $180 365-day prepaid.
There is. You were watching Current Affair last night, weren't you?
I was. And I saw you.
I was on it.
You're looking pretty good.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, now there are plenty of devices to buy. I think I recommend like not spending. Obviously, if it's first smartphone, you don't want to spend the world. You want to buy a decent product, but at an affordable price. And I always point people towards Alcatel. Alcatel make they prove that you don't have to spend big money to have a decent phone. They've got the Alcatel 1V, which is a 4G phone. They've got the 1C, which is a 3G phone. That's only $89. The 1V is slightly more expensive because it's a 4G phone, but you're talking 5.4-inch screen, 8-megapixel camera, really nice-looking device, fingerprint reader, the whole lot for that sort of price.
But is that sounds great, but is that linked to Telstra?
No. Well, I think the 1C is the $89 phone, but you can unlock it. You can buy unlocked versions of those phones,
which means you can use whatever.
So you can use whatever SIM card you want. Yeah.
Where would I get that from?
Well, you can go to the Telstra store. You can also, I think, Optus also sell a version of that as well. So check them out there. But again, they're not all. You can unlock them. But in terms of those plans, yeah, there are some good deals out there where you've got a long time to use your data. I think
that's
Aldi.
$15 a month.
Yeah, it works out really well. If you're a light user, and like I got my parents on a deal, I think through Aldi, they had a 365 deal. No, actually, they're through on Kogan Mobile. Kogan have got a deal where you can pay for 365 days, and I think that works out. They get about 4 or 5 gig a month on their plan, which worked out really well. So,
fantastic. Yeah,
plenty of choices. But, yeah, Aldi, Coles, they offer those long expiry plans as well.
Okay, good on you. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that. 131873 is the telephone number. If you've got a question similar to Francesco about the fact that you're looking at devices to upgrade, and it doesn't necessarily have to be smartphones, it might be a television you want to get into the new world, or some other form of router or modem, he's got it all. He's road tested them all and put them on techguide.com.au, and he can answer your questions. 131873, we'll take some more of those. And talk further about online shopping right after this. Hey, we're talking technology. 131873 is the telephone number. Menden has a question for you about access to Alcatel products. Go ahead, Menden.
Yeah, good day. I just want to find out who, if you know any other retailers in Brisbane that sell the Alcatel tablets.
Yeah, tablets or phones?
Tablets.
Well, I'd look at companies like Big W, Kmart, I think, have some of their products as well. So those sort of big box retailers. You can also try through Telstra stores as well. So they're the probably the best your best places to start.
All right, no worries.
No problem.
Good on you. 131873, does JB Hi-Fi stock Alcatel? I think they do.
No, I don't think so. No,
okay.
Not yet.
Deb, question from you.
Hi, how are you going, fellas? Because I'm working at the Pathology Centre in Canberra, and I can't get a radio to work in these rooms. Even a digital radio. I use my phone in my room with the radio on, but in the waiting room it's silent, and I'd like to have something.
So, can you receive digital radio there?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So, there's plenty of choices. I actually just bought a couple of digital radios for my place, and you can spend digital radios like everything. You can spend a little bit of money, or you can spend, if you want all the big brands, you can spend $200 or $300.
Yep.
But I actually bought a digital radio from, I think it was from Kmart. I think there was it was Big W. Digitech is the brand, DGTEC, and it was $25.
Well, I bought them, but they won't work.
Well, it depends on where. Like, it works with where I am. Where I get digital radio reception pretty well. If you say you get digital reception there, the aerials, you need to have your aerial out and everything and tune it properly.
Yep, and it won't work. Nothing will come up. Is it because of machinery or?
Not sure. But do you get AM/FM reception there? You must have if you're talking to us today.
On my phone. See, I'm on my phone. I get it.
Okay, so through. All right. So
can
that's.
Can I do this? Can I have my radio going on? My phone on the radio going on in my room and have a little speaker out in the other room.
You could do that, a Bluetooth speaker. You're going to use a lot of data, though, doing that if it's on all day.
Do I?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but try a digital radio. Yeah, that's worth it. Or try an AM, FM radio. They still sell the radios. They're very popular still.
Do you have Wi-Fi in the premises?
Sorry?
Do you have Wi-Fi in the premises?
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you get an internet radio.
Well, I use my phone for that, too.
But there's no Wi-Fi in that clinic?
No.
Okay, because if you did have Wi-Fi, you could have connected an internet radio. So you could buy a device that connects to the internet and then gives you the stations that you want, 2GB, of course, through the internet.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, appreciate your help.
No worries.
All right, Deb, 131873. Now, quickly, online shopping, so convenient. I get sucked into doing it too often, but it's also, depending on what you're surfing and what you're looking at,
yep,
it can be dangerous.
It is, yeah. There's always some online threats, and this is one of the latest ones. It was uncovered by Norton, the internet security company that's powered by Symantec. There's this new threat. Well, not new, but it's becoming more. They've seen more incidents of this. The threat is called formjacking, and what this basically means, it's an attack that uses a malicious code to intercept, you know, when you're online shopping and you get to the checkout page, you got to fill in your name, your address, yep, shipping address, credit card details. Well, there's a little bit of malicious code that some cyber criminals can insert on that page. So as soon as you hit submit, it just copies everything you've written down and then sends it off. They either can defraud you or on-sell your identity to the dark web. So this is a problem that has been observed, and there's been some pretty big victims. I think Ticketmaster was affected, and British Airways. So they're two major online retailers who they were affected. So and the thing with it, it's worrying because the site appears normal. There's no indication there's anything wrong with the site, and it's the customer who gets affected. So anyone who's running an online retail operation need to sort of have the responsibility to have all their security in place. It's very easy to detect when this happens because it's a third party code that's inserted on the site. So it's kind of like having a little alarm on your site to say that someone's intruded and inserted this code. Uh-huh. So very easy for webmasters to fix, but having your own internet security software will also helped protect you as well. Yep, so keep an eye out. If you've ever been online, and whether, you know, regardless of form jacking, but anyone who ever purchases anything online, keep an eye on their credit card statements in case if there's any strange little transactions that happen afterwards.
Yeah, I've keep had to go on back onto PayPal, who chased a retailer down to get me my money back. Yep. So it's handy to keep all of that.
Absolutely.
We've run out of time. Stephen Fenwick, thank you. We'll get on to techguide.com.au and have a look at that amazing house in Rosebery.
No problem.
And a whole heap of other things. Thank you, mate.
Thanks.
Stephen Fenwick.